16-year-old Hazel Grace Lancaster lives on borrowed time. Stage 4 thyroid cancer has compromised her lungs, transforming simple acts like climbing stairs into exhausting feats. Her life has contracted to a careful choreography of community college classes, reading sessions, and evenings watching America's Next Top Model with parents who monitor her every breath. When her mother insists she attend a church basement support group, the literal heart of Jesus, as Hazel sardonically notes, she meets Augustus Waters, a charismatic 17-year-old in remission from osteosarcoma that claimed one of his legs. Their initial exchange crackles with wit as Augustus provocatively places an unlit cigarette between his lips. When Hazel expresses outrage, he explains his metaphor. You put the killing thing right between your teeth, but you don't give it the power to do its killing, a perfect encapsulation of his defiant approach to mortality. Their connection challenges conventional narratives about illness. Through their relationship, we see how awareness of limited time doesn't diminish the value of connection. It intensifies it. Their story suggests that even borrowed time can transform into something precious when filled with moments of genuine understanding and shared laughter. The intellectual bond between Hazel and Augustus deepens through literature, particularly their shared fascination with An Imperial Affliction, a novel about a girl with cancer that ends abruptly mid-sentence. Unlike typical cancer narratives with triumphant survivors or inspirational legacies, this book presents illness with unflinching honesty. Augustus becomes equally captivated, and together they theorize about characters left in literary limbo. As Hazel grows closer to Augustus, she worries about the impact her inevitable death will have on him. In raw honesty, she tells her mother, "I'm like a grenade, Mom. I'm going to blow up, and I would like to minimize the casualties." This metaphor captures her fundamental conflict, the tension between yearning for connection while wanting to protect others from losing her. Augustus refuses to accept Hazel's self-imposed isolation, declaring, "All efforts to save me from you will fail." When she continues struggling with allowing herself to be loved, he delivers one of the novel's most powerful statements. "It would be a privilege to have my heart broken by you." This perspective transforms grief from something to avoid into a testament to love's significance, suggesting heartbreak is a worthy price for having loved deeply. Augustus uses his wish from the Genie Foundation to take Hazel to Amsterdam to meet author Peter Van Houten. Their literary quest evolves into something deeper, a search for answers about what happens after death and how stories continue beyond their endings. Amsterdam provides a magical backdrop for their romance, canal houses, bicycles, and spring snow of elm seeds. Their dinner at Orange Restaurant epitomizes perfect happiness as they enjoy complimentary champagne by the canal. When Augustus says, "I haven't gotten used to you just yet," and passing boaters toast the beautiful couple, the universe seems to celebrate their love. Reality intrudes when Augustus mentions bringing a suit that isn't his funeral suit. Their conversation reveals philosophical differences. Hazel believes forever is an incorrect concept, while Augustus needs something with a capital S. Still, Augustus confesses his love, acknowledging oblivion's inevitability. Their meeting with Van Houten proves disastrous. He's a bitter alcoholic who cruelly dismisses Hazel. Yet, when they share their first real kiss in the Anne Frank House, spontaneous applause from strangers affirms that even amid suffering, love deserves celebration. The novel's title inverts Shakespeare's line, "The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves," suggesting that sometimes fate, not personal failing, brings terminal illness to undeserving young people. This theme crystallizes when Augustus's cancer returns, spreading throughout his body. Augustus's physical deterioration forms the novel's most heartbreaking arc. We witness his transformation from a confident boy who made cancer seem almost glamorous to someone struggling with basic functions. His lowest moment comes when Hazel finds him at a gas station, covered in vomit with an infected G-tube, crying out, "I can't even not smoke anymore. I hate myself. I hate this. Just let me fucking die." This unflinching depiction contrasts sharply with sanitized cancer books Augustus disdains. Green refuses to romanticize suffering or suggest illness confers nobility. Instead, he shows how cancer destroys not just bodies, but dignity, independence, and self-image. Yet amid this decline, the novel finds profound tenderness. When Augustus can no longer manage stairs, Hazel lies beside him in his hospital bed, their bodies becoming a quantum entanglement of tubes, showing that even when bodies fail completely, meaningful connection remains possible. True love isn't about dignity, but about presence when everything else falls away. The Last Good Day represents that brief plateau in a cancer patient's decline when pain subsides and normalcy seems restored, tragically recognized only in retrospect. Augustus uses his for a pre-funeral where Hazel and Isaac deliver eulogies while he can still hear them. This fulfills his desire to participate in his own remembrance. Hazel's eulogy celebrates their love story and their little infinity, the concept that brief lives can contain more meaning than longer ones. The pre-funeral illustrates how memory becomes a form of immortality. Though Augustus fears oblivion, he continues existing through Hazel's remembrance. After his death, Hazel painfully realizes that without her co-rememberer, even shared memories feel diminished. Green suggests that in our digital age, true remembrance isn't measured by social media condolences from casual acquaintances, but by authentic connections. While Augustus's social media fills with generic messages after his death, genuine remembrance comes only from those who knew and loved the real person, not a posthumous idealization. Throughout the novel, Hazel and Augustus wrestle with meaning. Augustus fears oblivion, wanting to leave a heroic mark, while Hazel more pragmatically accepts life's temporary nature while still seeking purpose. By the end, both evolve. Augustus realizes human marks are often scars, writing that Hazel walks lightly upon the earth. Hazel discovers that paying attention is itself meaningful. After Augustus's death, she reflects, "I felt I owed a debt to the universe that only my attention could repay." This attentiveness becomes Hazel's way of honoring both Augustus and existence. Augustus's final letter states, "You don't get to choose if you get hurt in this world, old man, but you do have some say in who hurts you," encapsulating the novel's message that love is worth inevitable pain. In our achievement-oriented culture, the novel offers a different measure, the capacity to love and be noticed. A life's value isn't determined by length, but by connection depth. Hazel's final words, "I do, Augustus, I do," affirm that despite everything, she wouldn't trade their brief time together. Perhaps the greatest heroism is remaining open to connection, even knowing heartbreak will follow.